returning from small groups back to final lecture.
Were you able to come up with, generate some ideas, adapt, do some adaptations? Could you see how your faith plays more of a role in this type of situation? Anyone want to share what they came up with?
Sure. I think the science is a little tricky with some of this, but I thought about, like, in the laboratory, the teaching laboratory, the students share common space. And so your quote from the greatest commandment, you know, love your neighbor as yourself, you know, treat your lab mate as you would like to be treated in the lab. So if you don't want to have a dirty bench to work with, don't leave one for the next person also. And you kind of, you know, use biblical allusions and principles sort of sprinkle them in sort of communal values, right, sort of thing.
Okay, so that's, you're trying to change the atmosphere
right.
of the lab
right.
in some ways. Okay, someone else?
One thing I did is I gave a quote from Louis Scott's research category, the definition of disciple appears. The definition of the disciple is the same as learning from math. So when I'm teaching math, it's very effective because then that gives me a chance to talk about how mathematics is really discipline and
right.
being a disciple and kind of the importance of you know, focusing on. I mean, that's sort of like a class of spiritual development, then, you know, in a way, right? And for some of the students, certainly for some of the Christians.
Mm-hmm. Okay, but that's something you've already been doing, a practice you've already engaged
in. Yeah.
Okay. Yes.
I was just saying, as we were talking about all this, I kept thinking, and this is an area of passion for me, so I apologize in advance for that. But I just don't think as Christians we're doing enough. And I think this is a good start. I think it stirs up a hunger and a thirst, but I think we have got to point to the truth beyond just using the terminology that's used by other people. And I think I studied the legal issues in higher education, where religious expression is concerned. And many professors I know, that I've heard people come to me and say, you know, I don't even want to identify myself as a Christian because that's crossing the line. Well, that's not crossing the line legally. That is not establishing religion. That's expressing
that's right.
who you are. And I think we need to be much more bold about proclaiming the name of Jesus when those opportunities arise, and not just using the terms that are used in spirituality, that's used in any other type of religion or faith. We have a distinct. And so for me, you can see the passion and desire. I continue to ask myself year after year, semester after semester, what can I do? This is not enough. What can I do to be more explicit so that people know me, you know, the way to find the answer to those questions? It's one thing to stir the discussions, but people can talk and talk and talk and never be put into the truth. And so for me, I'm challenging myself to try to figure out how can I make it more explicit, because I think that legally the freedoms are there. There's only been one case in the history of American higher education where a faculty member was, of a lawsuit was brought against a faculty member for religious expression in the classroom. Only one case in the history of American higher education.
What discipline do you teach?
Higher education.
Oh, just in higher education.
Yeah, I studied higher education system and the legal aspects.
Okay.
And I study spirituality and religion in higher education. And it's just been one case. So we're not taking, I think we need to take some steps of faith and trust in God and take some risks. So again, it's just my passion.
Yeah.
I apologize.
Well, you said it, not me. So don't get me in trouble.
And I agree with it wholeheartedly. In a K-12 setting.
Yes.
Because I'm passionate about
right.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Teachers that are there working with Christian Educators Association to help them to understand what they can and can't do in
right.
those classrooms.
Right.
You're discussing so much of the time, it is the students who do the talking. It doesn't even have to be the teacher. It's the teacher who can
right.
draw out of them.
Exactly. The students can say so much more
right.
than we can.
And the students listen to the students.
Right.
Anymore.
It opens it up. But we provide the opening for that
yes,
to happen.
That's right. It's like that case study where they provide you provide
right.
the avenues for that discussion to happen
right.
from the children.
And then you also have to create that climate where it can that type of interaction will take place.
Right.
And if teachers aren't comfortable, they're not going to do it.
Have you ever had the experience of the students just saying things that are totally wrong from the professional perspective? And then what do you do with that? Targeting the wrongs.
Well, you carefully ask if others are in the classroom that would everyone agree with that statement or not? Though that would be one way to deal with it. And hopefully someone who is there comes from a different perspective can clarify. If not, go ahead. Go ahead.
I take out my Bible and I'm a list of stuff. And deer time throughout everything and read time. The book that comes out of my desk is my Bible. And I have students who take out their books. They choose to read at that time, 15 minutes of reading time. And some of them come in the room behind me. And the students have clarifying questions. If they say something that's incorrect, we would go investigate, just like we would investigate a science text if someone says something on a science text that would make correct.
Yeah, in non-instructional time, the students can, as I said, read the Bible, they can pray, they can go to sleep. They're free to do whatever. They can read the Quran. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah. One of the things I've implemented in the past talks and very committed summer programs that we do on the program, and something that we would have done for freshmen first coming into college, and one of the things I found was useful in hindsight was that in where I was having my office hours, I had a lot of my physics textbooks on the wall, but I also have like a Bible, or I have like C.S. Lewis books on Christianity. And some students, this is more geared towards Christian students who want, are trying to find some more comfort in their transition into college. Some of them would see the books on my bookshelf, and then I start to ask the question about, well, how are you making the transition, stuff like that. And many times some of the Christian students would self-identify. And then we could actually talk about things that had to do with their faith and how they're making the transition. So I just found that as an interesting way of helping students maybe who are making the transition into a college life who are Christian. Mm-hmm.
But within your actual classroom instruction, see, that's what I'm saying, are there ways in which we can actually do more to initiate these types of conversation within your lesson planning? So that's what, you know, I hope you go away thinking about, you know, the more ways to do this and where your Christianity can come into play.
I think that's a practical approach, that when you teach from a Christian perspective. When I say that, you look at the curriculum that you're teaching and you say to yourself, the Lord, okay, show me how I can draw out a Christian worldview within the context of which I'm presenting. And not be blatant about it, but the right kinds of questions that I could ask that starts to generate. Because there are kids in that classroom who know those answers and can bring that perspective out if you're free to do it.
Okay. One more thing I'd like to offer. I hope it's helpful. The research from UCLA shows that 75% of all college students believe in God. So one way to start discussions is to say why, you know, we've got 75% of all college students who say they believe in God, but yet we never talk about God. So when I teach, you know, theories of student development, I would say, if you look over all these theories, they're all theories that deny some type of supernatural intervention, yet 75% of all college students believe in God. How do you make meaning of it? Do we just develop naturally outside of the divine intervention? So I think sometimes just one simple statistic or research, they can't argue that. Mm-hmm. But that'll open the door to say, well, how does that fit then? If 3/4 of college students believe in God, then somehow that has to, we have to figure out how that fits with what we're studying.
Okay. Time-wise, I know we're a little over. Let me do it real quickly, the last things I have. What can you do to develop this type of classroom? Right? You have to look at yourself. Who you are will manifest itself, good and bad, in the classroom. So there are teachers who think that they're into social and emotional learning and they know what it's about, and they really don't. They're blind to their own faults. And the students will not share in a setting. So you have to be sure about yourself and do what's comfortable for yourself. Here I'm warning you, you have to be very careful to protect yourself, not to proselytize, and to let the Lord direct you. I mean, there is supernatural power that we have to help us. And the last, why do we do this? Why do we want to talk about these issues? It's part of human flourishing, isn't it? Helping human beings to develop and grow, even if they always remain non-believers. And I think that what will happen as we are more intentional about this is that people will either be drawn to the gospel, to explore it, seek it, or they'll be turned off by it. You can't control that. They'll either be propelled toward it or they will reject it. But I think the gospel is powerful enough to speak for itself. It's not our job to, you know, it's just like evangelism. It's not our job to beat a person into submission, but the gospel
I think, is powerful enough to speak for itself. And this is all we're trying to do. We're trying to create openings so that the gospel can be heard, or the avenues are open where people begin to explore, you know, what is truth, you know, what religion is true, who is God, these issues. So that's why we do these things. Okay, so again, we're out of time. And I'll just leave this up. If you want to copy, you can, but these are some helpful websites with different types of information, and not necessarily Christian at all, but they do have some information if you want to look at some different things.
End of session.